God's Word and open tonight, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As was announced this morning, we come tonight to the Lord's table to take the bread and the cup that's been given to us by the Lord Jesus as a remembrance of the awful price that He paid for our redemption. And before we come to the table, I want us to take just a few minutes and reflect on a portion of Scripture that certainly speaks to the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. I want to begin reading with verse 21, and we'll go through verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. As we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, I want to remind us tonight, as Peter says here, in this passage, that the one who died for us was the sinless Lamb of God. It was absolutely necessary that Jesus be a perfect sacrifice. Had there been one iota of sin in His character, then His sacrifice for our redemption would have been null and void. He had to be a lamb without blemish. And notice how Peter says it here in verse 21 of Jesus. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. This is a quote from the 53rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, the great suffering servant chapter, where Isaiah in the 8th century B.C. described in very graphic detail the death of Jesus centuries before it happened. Jesus committed no sin. He was perfect in every way. And not only that, we read in verse 23 that though He was sinned against, how was He sinned against? They hurled insults at Him. But He didn't retaliate. He didn't hurl insults in response. When He suffered, He made no threats, but instead He entrusted Himself to Him, the one who judges justly, which of course is God the Father. Now, we know from other places in the New Testament that Jesus was the sinless sacrifice for sin. You remember when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator, on the night of His arrest, and Pilate examined Him. And He said, after that examination, I find no fault in Him. Even Judas, one of the 12, the one who betrayed Him, later, before he took his own life, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And Jesus Himself said, I always do that which pleases Him, meaning God. Apostle John said of Jesus, in Him there is no sin. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, He who had no sin, speaking of Jesus, for Jesus was without sin. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that Jesus was a great high priest who identifies with us in all of our difficulties and heartaches. And he goes on to say, He was tempted in every way as you and I have been tempted, with this one difference. Yet, without sin. Now that sets Jesus apart from every other person who's ever lived. We all, because we are the sons and daughters of Adam, have been born with a sinful or an Adamic nature. And we express that nature because it is our nature. And so the one who would die for us had to be sinless. Not just blameless. He was certainly that. But he was sinless. The perfect sacrifice offered for us. And not only was Jesus without sin, but we learn here in verse 24 that Jesus died as our substitute. Now, I've said this for so many decades now, we don't ever need to get this wrong, folks. There are a lot of churches that don't understand this, but may it never be said of Lakeview that we didn't get this one right. The death of Jesus is more than a wonderful example of love. It is certainly the most extraordinary example of love the world has ever seen, but it's far, far more than that. The death of Jesus on Calvary's cross paid a sin debt that none of us could ever pay. But he could. And he did. He died as our substitute. Look in verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The tree here is a reference to the cross. Jesus took upon himself on the cross our sins. He bore our sins so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. What took place in the death of Jesus on the cross was the greatest transaction known to the human race. For on that cross was placed the sin of Adam's race, on the sinless, blameless, perfect Lamb of God. And when we repent of our sins and trust in Christ Jesus as our Savior, then we receive from Him His righteousness. It is imputed to us. It is credited to our account. We have nothing to do with that. Salvation is from first to last, from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega, by grace alone, through faith alone, in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross alone. Now we see these two truths just interwoven throughout the Gospels and the letters of the New Testament. The sinlessness of the Son of God and His substitutionary death on the cross, paying our sin debt, a debt we could never pay. And so on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the Passover meal for his 12 and he said, "This is my bread given for you. This is my blood shed for you." And instituted what we know today and what we observe today and what we will observe tonight as the Lord's Supper. It is a reminder to us of the price paid for our redemption. Now, in the course of a year in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many high days. Certainly the special music that we sing at Christmas is such a very special time for us. And Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, is certainly a very special day. Other special events we have, conferences and meetings, and every Lord's Day is good. But there is nothing that the church does in the experience of corporate worship to compare with coming to the Lord's table. To come and take the bread, reminding us of the death of Jesus on the cross. And to come take the cup, symbolic of his blood shed for our redemption. It's a sacred time. It's a solemn time. It's a joyful time. It's a grateful time. It's a humbling time. All these things mixed together. It's a time for us to remind ourselves what Jesus has done for us, to make this New Testament church fellowship possible. We're not just an assortment or assembly of with varying degrees of religious commitment. No, 1,000 times no. We are the blood-bought sons and daughters of God, given forgiveness and redemption and justification by His death on the cross. So we do not take lightly this privilege. Now, in a moment, I want us to take a few minutes to reflect on the death of Jesus on the cross. Reflect upon our covenant relationship. Before we do that, I want us to say together the covenant of Lakeview Baptist Church, which we adopted some years ago. It'll be on the screen, and I'm just going to ask you to read it with me aloud at this time. If you are a member of Lakeview Baptist Church, this is our covenant. And would you say it with me and confess it with me? Having repented of our sins, and having trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and being baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we make the following covenant with God and with one another. By God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will support the testimony of our church by loving God supremely, by living a Spirit-filled, Christ-like life, by faithfully worshiping together on the Lord's Day, by regularly sharing the gospel with unbelievers, by demonstrating Christ's love to all people, by supporting the global mission efforts. We will guard the unity of our church by honoring its doctrines, by showing love for one another, by ministering to one another, by praying with and for one another, by speaking in a way that builds up others, by following the leaders chosen by our church. We will support the ministries of our church by giving generously of our finances, by being equipped to serve, by developing a servant's heart, by exercising our spiritual gifts in ministry. We will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. Now, with that covenant ringing in our minds and hearts, and with this brief meditation from 1 Peter in our hearts, remembering that that Paul said to the Corinthians, a man ought to examine himself before he takes the body and blood of the Lord. I'm going to ask that we just have a few minutes of quiet reflection and meditation without any music. And let's just wait on the Lord for a few minutes. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's any area of your life that dishonors the Lord, that needs to be repented of? And remembering the promise of the Word of God, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let's do that at this time. Trust in the Lord to speak to us. Prepare our hearts to take the bread and the cup. Of baptism to come to the table. If you are one of those, you're welcome. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper, he said, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that You, in Your great mercy, sent forth Your Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, who lived that sinless life that He might become that sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God nailed to a Roman cross, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your obedience to the will of the Father, even unto death, even death of the cross. We come to this table tonight. Our hearts are filled with gratitude and love and adoration.